I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. City of San Luis Mayor Gerardo Sanchez says San Luis is open for business and looking forward to the border reopening for non-essential travel, which was a policy implemented during the COVID-19 pandemic. San Luis, Arizona is located directly on the U.S.-Mexico border. It's home to two ports of entry and is the throughway for sanctioned travel across the U.S.-Mexico border in this region. Sanchez says about 70% of the city's sales tax revenue comes from that cross-border traffic, and it's taken a hit since the closure. Still, Sanchez says the city's finances were bolstered by people buying local, and after a year of putting off projects and responding to the pandemic, he says the city is ready to move ahead, even as it waits for border restrictions to lift. In late June, the city adopted one of its largest budgets ever for the fiscal year that began July 1st, $94.9 million. That $95 million budget, how did that fit into your experience in passing budgets before in the region? What was new or different about it?
Okay, the $94 million is basically projects. For example, what actually our limit to spend for the fiscal year 2022 is $54.011 million. And 54 million basically, but the actually budget approved was for 94.9 million. And the reason why is because what happened is with the whole pandemic, we retracted from spending on major projects. We retracted from doing major investments because we didn't know what was going to happen. So a lot of the budget, close to almost over 30 million. Was basically money non-spent on projects from previous year. For example, we were supposed to purchase a new fire truck that was still pending. Well, we're going to get a new fire truck this on fiscal year 2022. Ambulances, expenditures on police vehicles, equipment, certain preservation, street preservation was on a hold because the company wouldn't come down with the whole pandemic. And so that's why we have a $94.9 million budget. So it's going to be a very active year, 2022, fiscally speaking. A lot of the projects that were pending, major projects like the finishing of our operations building where people do their maintenance, and it's going to be completed this year. And so there's a lot of little things that and big projects that were not done last year, but we're definitely going to put them for this year. So the city employees, we're going to be busy. So it's good. It looks good for the city. We do have a balanced budget. We're not in a deficit. I need to clarify that, because I guess there was a comment in one of the local newspapers stating that we were in a deficit. So no, we're not. We are balanced, and it's looking good in regards to the finances of the city. And so everything is there online.
Explain a little bit about the substation for police and firefighters. That's a building that's become necessary.
It is so essential, for example, for us to be able to continue offering rapid response times of our EMTs, paramedics, fire. The east side is the fastest growing side of San Luis. There's at least three more subdivisions in the works in that area. So we're talking about over maybe 300 more homes that are going to be built in that area, around that area. And so it is the fastest growing, and unfortunately it is far apart from the main, where our police and fire is. So we definitely had to start thinking about a substation, both the fire and the police. I want to make sure that we definitely have an ambulance there. I want to make sure we have an officer there at all times, because we need, it's all about response time. If it takes us 10 minutes, 11, 12 minutes to get there, that's not enough time. We need to be there. It's way, way quicker, one fraction or of the time that's there. So, and that's the solution we have to have, no matter what. This item was actually part of the proposed sales tax that failed, that people didn't want to vote for. But if sales tax would have been approved, we could have had both substations up and running, including that community park, up and running in less than 2 years. But now what we're doing is we're definitely investing in one building, and temporarily we're going to have both fire and police in the same building until we build the second building. And this is going to be right on the premises of the community park, which is a 20-acre planned community park, because the city of San Luis has one official park, which is Joe Orduño. And it started in the early 80s, and we still have one park. We have a lot of little water reservoirs that we use as parks, but we needed something, a community park. And so that's why last year we invested in 20 acres in the east side, because all the growth is going to the east side. So we want to make sure, and plus our 4th of July events, our big events, 9 acres is not enough. That's the size of our Joe Orduño Park. So we need double the size. And sure enough, that east side community park will definitely help us for events like 4th of July and our biggest like Founders Day and events like that. So yes, definitely. We are definitely going to get that substation done. I wish it could have been done quicker. But it's all about the funding and finding the right resources. And it's going to take a bit longer, but we're definitely going to have a fire truck. We're definitely going to have police presence 24/7 in that area.
Yeah, just a strange past year. A lot of things got put off, and things are still coming. It's just we had kind of a weird blip in our lives this past 400 days.
It's like hitting the pause button in slow motion, but yes, it's definitely, but we need to make that, it's absolutely necessary. I mean, we need to be there. A fire police needs to be immediately accessible, and the thing is, more houses are going to be built there. I mean, there's three tentative, actually two, three plans of three more divisions, I mean, subdivisions. And so, and I think they're not done yet. So it's going to, San Luis is growing very fast.
300 homes is quite a significant change for an area like San Luis.
Yeah, exactly. So we are the fastest growing community, and there's a reason for that. People want to live here. They want to live next to the border. They want to be able to go to Mexico, visit in-laws, friends, and come back. And going back to the port of entry. Right now, I mean, I just finished my rounds. We're almost done with the rounds with the Arizona delegation, trying to get support for the final $147 million needed for the basically reaviation of Port of Entry 1. We definitely need to invest from 7 lanes to 16 lanes to cross into the U.S. And we definitely need to work on how people get into Mexico also. So It's going to be over a $300 million project that's going to occur within the next 2 years.
Let me ask you about that, because I was reading before I spoke to you about a mayor in a border city in Texas who envisioned back in April a more of an Ellis Island-like welcoming center on the border. Is it in any way going in that direction, where it's just a little more open and accessible?
The key thing is... We want to promote homeland security first and foremost. Okay, we need to secure, but we also need to promote economic development. We also need to promote legal migration, because what's happening now is they're removing officers, or they're taking officers to process the, for example, the asylum seekers, or I don't know the term right now what they're using, but they're seeking asylum. And the thing is, anytime they take an officer or a CBP officer from their position, that's one less man. So that's probably one less lane available, which affects the number of people crossing, which affects your wait time. And San Luis has always had the longest wait times. And it's just how can you promote economic development? How can you promote tourism? How can you promote if you have to wait 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 4 hours to cross on weekends?
it is a balancing act for your community. On the one hand, you know, there are concerns about border security. On the other hand, there are concerns about human rights. And you know, yes. On the other hand, there's a concern about running a city.
Exactly. And the thing is, that's why it's a challenge. Yeah, border towns are, it's a challenge. And you have to work with the different agencies. You have to work with CBP, Border Patrol. You have to work with sheriff, with sheriff's department, local entities. You have to work with Somerton, Yuma. And we've been very fortunate because we do have a lot of support, both from the federal government, from the state, and the county. And so it's a group effort. It's you have to. There's actually no way for you to build the wall around yourself and think you isolate yourself. It doesn't work that way. Things are happening too quick, too fast, and my community is growing. And I'm pretty sure the census numbers are not going to lie. Our community is a young population. So when you have a lot of young populations, they need parks. They need places to go to. And so we also look at the demographics. We also look at what's going to happen 10, 15, 20 years from now, because we do have a lot of young families with small children. So there's a reason why we have a lot of schools. There's a reason why we need another high school. We should be thinking about having another high school. I really avoid trying not to plan ahead, because by the way we're growing, we require jobs also. We can't just build homes. So that's why when I meet with the other mayors, we all speak about the region. Because if a new company comes to Yuma County and they decide to open shop in Yuma, guess who's applying? My residents are applying also. Yuma residents are applying in Somerton. And so we all understand that we have to work together in order to work. That's how I'm selling that's how I'm promoting the port of entry to the Arizona delegation, because some congressmen are going to say, it's not my district, so I don't worry. No. It affects whole Arizona. It affects everyone. And so it's a work in progress, though. It really is.
It's interesting too, because I think that you've in the past several years you have had to strike a balance. Obviously, there have been two divergent administrations at the federal level, kind of running things, and then there's a national media sort of rhetoric about the border. Where do you think the national media gets it wrong, and where do you think maybe they have it right, and that maybe things aren't being addressed the way they should be?
Well. I think, this is my personal opinion. And the thing is, do we have a crisis in the border? I think we do. Anytime a child crosses the border by themselves, we have issues. There's something going on. And I understand what we do, but we also have to look at what's the purpose, what's going on, what really is going on. The number of people that are crossing here in Yuma, they're probably not as big or not as high as in certain parts of Texas and California. But we are definitely, because we're in the middle of the desert, and trust me, you don't want to be walking in 114 degree weather.
Okay? If I could stop you though, you know, that maybe someone in Minnesota hears, yeah, there's a crisis at the border, but their impression of what that looks like may not be what the reality is on the street, because you're outlining something there that's very specific.
Yes. And I think, and I always try to do that. And the thing is, because just today, one of the comments I made to one of the congressman's aide is like, the perception of DC is way different than reality. And the thing is, that's why your reporting is so important, because you can move the story any which way you want. But the fact is, I just want to make sure we invest in infrastructure. I want to make sure that we invest in economic development, because this pandemic, trust me, it doesn't care if you're a asylum seeker or not. I mean, you're going to get it, or you can get it. And so right now we're really pushing for vaccinations, and we're really hoping for that. But people don't see that. They see that as an influx, as they're being overwhelmed. I mean, in certain areas of Texas, yes, they are. And it becomes overwhelming. But the big issue is, does CBP have the funding to accommodate all these people? Okay. If that's we have to be human about it. We have to be the children, I hear that, and actually a couple of weeks ago when the governor was here, everyone left, and myself and another council member, we were driving on the canal bank, and we saw a family a wife and small children crossing over. And I'm like, how safe can that be? And so we need to be human about it. And we need to look at the humanitarian aspect also. But we also need to follow all rules and regulations and laws. They're out there. Okay. So there's a process for asylum seeking. But what I hear is some people are taking advantage of this. And it's just really unfortunate. And so that's why we definitely need to look at our laws, immigration laws. We definitely need to start enforcing some. But at the same time, we can't be not human. And if it's a humanitarian crisis, let's call it a humanitarian crisis. Let's see the problem. Let's solve the problem. Okay. So why are all so many people crossing over? I mean, it's a multi-phase, no quick fix, but no quick answer for this one. But we definitely have to do something about it. But definitely invest in our ports of entry, because it's just becoming not feasible.
It's also interesting too. I don't think a lot of people know just how safe San Luis is, even compared to other cities in the state of Arizona.
We're still in the upper five considered safest cities in Arizona, and we've had that label for last, I think, 4 or 5 years. So crime rate is low, and so there's a reason why families want to come and raise their children in our area. So of course it's a big factor. I go outside and do my exercising in the late evening. I feel perfectly safe. And now I want to continue that. And so, you're right. We are a very safe community.
I just want to end on COVID. You mentioned vaccinations. I looked up the zip code 85349 and noted that 28,000 plus people have been vaccinated in that zip code. How's that sit for you?
28,000, that's very good. If you have a population of 36,000, what percentage is that? That's a pretty high percentage. And what I can tell you is the city started promoting it. We were having vaccination clinics. And one of the CVP officers, I saw him and I talked to him, and he goes, Mayor, he's been at the different border communities, and he says, of all the communities, San Luis is doing a great job. Of course we are, because we know the key thing is vaccination. And the thing is, there's a lot of misinformation. And so there's absolutely, we've made it a point where you have the option to get vaccinated. You have three options. Our counterparts in Mexico had no vaccines. They were asking for the vaccines. There was a push, there was some donation of, I think 2.5 million by the US government to border towns. They got the Johnson & Johnson. They were not questioning the Johnson & Johnson because they didn't have that option. And so we had people, there's people actually, and I'm very grateful for CBP, for our port director, John Swan. I mean, he made it possible to the point where people would be bused to our port of entry too, given their vaccination and taken back to Mexico. Over 3,500 doses were given in that area. And the thing is, and people were not questioning if it were political, if I was wearing my mask or not wearing my mask. Everyone was wearing their mask. Everyone, they wanted the vaccine. And there's a big difference when you don't have, we have three options, Lou, okay? They didn't have three options. They have no vaccines, okay? So there's a big difference. I think, unfortunately, we're a little, I don't know. I'm trying to find the political word, but it's very frustrating because I had COVID. I was in the hospital for 22 days. It was not fun. And when people say, "Oh, I don't believe it's true," really? Won't you go to the hospital and try to breathe and actually have a machine breathe for you or force you to breathe? I mean, people don't understand it. It's real. It's a reality. It's here. And my biggest issue right now is it's the young population, the 18-42 group that think that they don't need the vaccine. That's a problem because they're gathering, they're not wearing masks, and they're not vaccinated. And so I keep telling them, COVID is not going to go anywhere as long as people don't get vaccinated. Some people don't want to get vaccinated, so be it. Okay. If you get sick, please stay home. Don't get close. And that's all I say. I respect your rights. You respect my rights. I'll wear my mask. If you don't want to wear your mask, it's okay. But let me wear my mask. And then that's what I tell everyone. If you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel safe, keep using the mask. People are questioning, why are you opening? Why are we doing that? Because we have to open. We cannot remain closed. And it was proven. If you wear a mask, you get protected. I mean, of course, it's not an N95, the ones I use at work, but it's a covering. It's pretty. There's a reason why we haven't seen a lot of influenza. We didn't see a lot of influenza during. We saw a lot of COVID, but we didn't see influenza. And I figured, my opinion, it was the mask. So food for thought.
All right, Mayor, we have to leave it there. I appreciate your time. So much more we could talk about. So, of course, we'll have you back. But Mayor Gerardo Sanchez, Mayor of San Luis, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Take care of yourself. Be careful. Take care. Bye.
And that's Arizona Edition for this week. The show is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Send questions or comments to news@kawc.org. You can also access past shows on our website, kawc.org. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. Thanks for listening.